Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
No, I love you like I do. No, I do.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Proctors in Schenectady will take on a downstate feel on Sunday, March 22nd, when Academy Award-nominated actor Chaz Palminteri performs his one-man show, A Bronx Tale, which became a beloved movie of the same name, directed by Robert De Niro. Palminteri, who wrote the play and screenplay and played the gangster Sonny in the film, is doing the play as a benefit for his Child Reach Foundation. A member of the Actors Studio, Palminteri has had a long career on stage and screen, including his Oscar-nominated turn in Bullets Over Broadway, The Usual Suspects, Analyze This, Modern Family, and dozens more, and it's my pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable.
Thank you.
Tell us about the charity that you'll be raising money for with your performance at Proctor's on March 22nd.
Well, it's the Child Reach Foundation. It's been around about 12 years. We raised quite a bit of money for children. It basically helps all children. Children with thalassemia, with blood disorders. Also, we help any law enforcement, whether they be NYPD or state troopers, a sheriff's department, any law enforcement with children where they have special needs. If a policeman has a child with special needs, we help them out. We give them a grant.
Have you ever played Proctors before?
Never. No, I've never been up to Schenectady before.
Well, we're excited to have you here. I'm wondering if the venue matters to you when you're performing the show, because, you know, you've performed all over the country and the world. You know, the staging, does any of that change based on the venue?
Not too much. You know, I mean, basically it's size. You know, I've done theaters when it was 500 seats. Mostly I usually do 12 to 1500. I mean, this one is very big. This is 2,600, I think, 2,700. So This is a little bigger. So, no, it doesn't bother me at all.
I want to go back to the beginning of A Bronx Tale. How did you decide to write it?
Well, basically, what really happened was I ran out of money, and I got a job as a doorman at a very exclusive nightclub. Because that's what I did in New York, when I worked in New York, when I needed money, you know, between acting jobs. And I was there one night, and I ended up not letting this very big, important man in, and the man happened to be Swifty Lazar, who was the biggest agent in the world at the time. This is 1988, and I got fired. 89, excuse me. And I got fired, and then I went home, and I was like, I didn't know which way to turn. I only had a few hundred dollars in the bank, and I said, well, if they won't give me a great part, then I'll write one myself. And I started writing about this killing that I saw when I was 9 years old. And after about 10 months of writing, I had this one-man show. I decided I would do it all myself, put it on stage, do the whole movie like myself on stage. And, and boom, I became a star. That's what happened.
The story goes that you were performing it, and Robert De Niro came to see the show.
Right.
And he wanted to option the movie, right?
Yes. At that time, everybody wanted an option. I mean, it was the hottest property in the world at the time. There was Rocky in 1975, and then there was Bronx Tale almost, 17, 18 years later. That's the only two times it happened. It happened again later on in my Big Fat Greek Wedding. They say that it happens once every 15, 20 years. That something like that happens. It was pretty amazing. I mean, everybody wanted to do it. But at that time, they didn't want to use me. They wanted to put a star in the role. I mean, they thought I was a great actor, but they didn't think I was in a name. But I refused. And I owned it since I wrote it, and I said no. And then De Niro walked in after I turned down the last offer, which was for $1 million, and I said no. And then De Niro walked into the theater, saw the show, met me backstage, said it was the greatest one-man show he's ever seen. And he said, this is a movie, what you did. And I said, I know. And we made the deal. That's it. The rest is history, as they say.
How hard was it to turn down these offers? I mean, you wanted to be in the movie, obviously. You had written the show, but, you know, $1 million is $1 million.
Yeah. I you know, I'm a very stubborn guy, you know. I believed in myself. I believed in my ability. And I said, sooner or later, somebody will come up and step up because it's just too good. I mean, there was just too many people that wanted it and were willing to pay a lot of money. I said, sooner or later, somebody will give in, and they did.
Now, De Niro nowadays is a famous director, but at the time, this was going to be his first movie.
Right.
Did you have any trepidation about trusting him with your baby?
No. No, not at all. I mean, you know, this guy's a great actor. He's done 75 movies. I mean, he had to learn something, right? That's how I looked at it. I mean, I didn't think it was a big deal.
I'm wondering if, because you said this is about something that happened in your life and it reflects your childhood to a certain degree, but you ended up playing, you know, quote unquote, the bad guy in the film.
Right.
What was it like for you to identify with, you know, other characters besides the autobiographical part of it?
Well, I wanted to play Sonny because Sonny was really, I thought it was a very interesting part, you know, part. I mean, you realize Sonny was a bad guy. He was a bad guy, yes, but he didn't want the kid to do anything bad. He was telling the kid to do the do the same thing as his father said. It's just that the influence that Sonny had about who he was the father was afraid that was going to rub off on him. That's what makes the story so interesting.
Let me tell you something. When you're alone late at night in bed, just you and her under the covers, that's all that matters, see? You got to do what your heart tells you to do. Let me tell you something right now. You're only allowed 3 great women in your lifetime. They come along like the great fighters once every 10 years. Rocky Marciano, Sugar Ray Robinson, Joe Louis. Sometimes you get them all at once. Me? I had my 3 when I was 16. That happens. What are you going to do? That's the way it goes, you know? I'll tell you right now. See this girl? Maybe this girl, she put wind in your sails. Maybe she's your first great one.
Thanks a lot, son. I think I'm going to go for it.
A Bronx Tale is really about the working man. It's about my father, who was a bus driver. You know, and I always said, you know, the mafia gets a lot of press, but the real working people in the Italian-American community are the real heroes, and that's what Bronx Tale is about.
You had been performing it as a one-man show. Then the movie comes out, and I'm wondering if your perspective changed at all now being able to see A Bronx Tale, because you had been performing it as a one-man show on stage, and now all of a sudden you're watching a movie of it.
Well, you know, I only did it for a year. Once we made the deal for the movie, I stopped, and I started making a lot of movies then, you know. And then in 2007, that's when I decided to, I said, you know, I'm going to bring it back because there's a whole new generation of people who never saw the original show. And I brought it back to Broadway, and it was a huge hit again. And then I did the national tour, and that was a huge hit all over the country. I did Vegas, and I became Show of the Year in Las Vegas. And since then, now I just do it maybe once or twice a month at you know, casinos or on nice venues and things like that.
Has your understanding of the characters shifted in those years? You know, 1989 is a long time ago at this point. I'm wondering, you identify
well,
more.
The difference is, when I first did it, I related from like I was the boy to the father. And now, obviously, all these years later, I have a son who is my age, who was that age. I remember me in the neighborhood. He's 19 now, and I kind of relate more to the father, to the boy, and from the boy to the father. So it's just better. It's richer and better.
Did you have to, like, relearn the lines when you brought it back?
Oh, of course, yes. I mean, I had to go over it and rehearse it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jerry Zaks directed it, you know, 4-time Tony winner, and I had to rehearse it again. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't remember it after all that time, but it came back to me. You know, it did come back to me.
Why do you think it is so appealing to audiences? I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know who love A Bronx Tale.
You know, the amazing thing about it is that it's not just here. It's a huge hit in Japan. It's a huge hit in Europe, Italy, Spain, Germany, everywhere. People love it. I mean, I can't explain it. I think, of course, the characters are archetype characters, and they just connect with the universal theme of life of these people, you know, father, son, good versus evil, which is really not good versus evil. It's more like gray versus gray. I can't explain it. It just hits a nerve. I did it in I did it all over the United States, Texas, Milwaukee. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be from the Bronx. People stand up and cheer. I wish I could tell you the reason why.
I want to ask you about some of your other roles. You play kind of the lead investigator in the movie The Usual Suspects.
Right.
And I don't think I'm spoiling it for people now. It came out in 1994, but there's a massive twist at the ending. And I'm wondering, as you were reading that script or preparing to play the part, if you knew the twist that was coming.
No. That I knew it when I was reading it? No. Mm-hmm. No, I did not. I mean, I kept wondering who the hell is Kaiser Sose. You know, I thought it was Keaton, you know, but it wasn't. It wasn't, obviously.
27 men died on that pier for what looks to be $91 million worth of dope that wasn't there.
This is his life's in danger. He saw the devil.
Kaiser Sose!
Did he mention Kaiser Sose?
Who? Who's Kaiser Sose?
I wasn't sure. It was very hard. You know, it won the Academy Award for best, screenplay. It's a very intricate screenplay, but it's also a testament to the director, Brian Singer, who directed a brilliant movie. You know, it's not only the words, it's the writer. You know, it's the writer and the director that have to put it together. And it was one of those things, you know, it's magic. You know, you get this brilliant script, you get the perfect director that really knows it, and you get the great cast. And once you have all that, you know, you have a shot for something great to happen, and it did.
Did you know it as you were working on it that it was something special?
No. I thought it was different. I thought it was good. I said, wow, this could be really, you know, this looks, but you don't know because you're doing pieces of it, you know? You don't know. You really don't know. And anybody who tells you they know is just guessing. Believe me, I've been around too long, done too many movies. You don't know. I mean, the only movie that I did that I really thought was special. I mean, while I was doing it and said, I know this is good. Well, there's two of them, really. Was Bronx Tale and A Guide to Recognizing the Saints, those two. Where I felt, wow, this is really going to be something. And I was right. But other times, you know, and that was a guess. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, I just felt it was good, you know, but you don't know. I've been wrong. You know, I thought movies that I've done, some movies, I said, this is not that great. And all of a sudden, boom, it's a huge hit. Nobody knows. You know, everybody, people who say they know don't know. Believe me.
Do you like to watch your own movies?
I watch it once. I see. I mean, in other words, I'll go to the premiere if I'm, you know, I'm invited to the premiere. I'll see it. Then I don't watch it no more. And then I can't watch it. I don't like to watch it, no. No, I don't, if I see it once, I don't want to see it no more. You know, sometimes late at night I see one of my movies on. I don't watch it. I don't watch it. I don't know. It's there. It's over. That's it. Move on, you know.
What was working with Woody Allen like on Bullets Over Broadway?
Just really smart, you know, really wonderful actors, director. You know, would let certain actors improvise and try different things. You know, really smart. You know, I would say the thing that gets me about him is really smart, really knows comedy really well.
What are you working on now?
I'm doing a lot of writing right now. I just did a movie with Tom Hardy, who's one of the great new actors now. And we did a movie in London called Legends. I think it's coming out in October, if I'm not mistaken. And that's really, I think that's going to be great. And I'm writing. I've written a play. I'm producing another play called Unorganized Crime, which I'm going to be in, too. I've written another play called Human. So a lot of great things are happening here right now.
Chaz Palminteri will be in our region on Sunday, March 22nd. He will perform his one-man show, A Bronx Tale. It's a benefit for charity at Proctor's in Schenectady. He's appeared in films like Bullets Over Broadway, The Usual Suspects, Analyze This. It's just been a pleasure to have you on the roundtable, and we're so excited to have you in town.
Well, I appreciate that. And also, I do want to mention that if the people who love the movie are going to love the show even more, that's the thing. It was one of the few shows on Broadway that when people left the theater, they were standing online to buy tickets again. So I tell you, if you love the movie, you must come and see the show, because it's a rocket ship. It really is.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.